Jesus talks about how kingdom people live. So I'm going to provide an overview of the sermon and then focus on one theme, and that is of forgiveness. So in Matthew 5, it begins, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And then it says some of the things that he began to teach them. And Jesus begins with what we know as the Beatitudes, a series of blessings. So verse 3 and 4, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," and so forth. For the longest time, I took those statements as exhortations. You know, well, I must be more poor in spirit. I must be a more humble person. I must mourn. All those things, those were things that I, therefore, if Jesus says them in his sermon, then those are things that I must do. And I think maybe it was my upbringing. Maybe it was how I'd heard it preached. I think it was very common to take whatever the Bible said as kind of exhortation. You know, do more, be better, improve. Hope that I may somehow please God if I live according to his ways. Then I heard a Bible preacher. He suggested that we just take the Beatitudes at face value. You know, Jesus looked at his audience and he saw people who were poor in spirit. And he pronounced a blessing on them. "Blessed are you. Be encouraged. Yours is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus saw people experiencing sorrow. We've just talked about loss this morning. We mourn. And he pronounced a blessing on them. "You will be comforted." And so on through this series of blessings. So I encourage you, you know, look at the Beatitudes. You may see yourself in these words, in some of them more than in others. And just receive the blessing. Jesus says, "There's something for you. I care about you. I love you. I want you to be encouraged, blessed. Yours is the kingdom of heaven," and so forth. I still think there's some application here. You know, if Jesus says the poor in spirit are blessed, then certainly we should know that it's a desirable quality to have. But now I hear more the words of blessing, that Jesus just cares for people that he speaks to. And we need to receive that. Following the blessings, Jesus says his people will be salt and light in the world. Well, Neil, these are words of exhortation. Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So that is a do verse, right? Be salt and light. Let your light shine. Then Jesus insisted he did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And from that, we have a series of teachings in which Jesus says, you know, you've heard that it was said, but I tell you. So Jesus did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but they must be correctly understood. And the religious leaders of that time, they really adhered to the letter of the law, but not really the spirit of the law. So the law said, well, no murder. Well, they held to that. That was wrong to kill another. But the religious leaders who taught them, you know, you've heard that it was said, well, they had a whole lot less problem with anger, with calling people fools. And Jesus said, no. Kingdom people strive for good relationships. There's the spirit of the law. This is what we want to live by. And the rest of chapter 5 is just a whole series of these teachings. In 6 verse 1, it says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now, Jesus addresses three specific things. He talks about prayer. First, it's giving, and then prayer, and then fasting. So kingdom people, they practice spiritual disciplines. These could just be representative ones. Marilyn reminded us it's the beginning of Lent. Maybe there are certain things that you do for Lent in this season of preparation. But we don't do them for show, to draw attention to ourselves. That's not what it's about. Our motivation in giving and prayer and fasting is to live our relationship with God in a way that brings Him glory. And in the middle of this section is we have the Lord's Prayer. In the rest of chapter 6, Jesus talks about treasure. That's money and material things. He says we may only have one master. You know, you got to choose whether you're going to serve God or money. Kingdom people serve the King, God. We're not to worry about stuff. Certainly we use stuff. But we seek first the kingdom and trust that He will provide us with what we need. In chapter 7, Jesus tells kingdom people to not judge. And I sometimes think this teaching is widely misunderstood. I believe we're not to judge motives or make assumptions about what people do that we don't really know. But it doesn't mean we don't have any knowledge of right and wrong. Sometimes when, you know, we say that something we think is wrong, they say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Well, we understand right and wrong, but there are things we don't judge. Jesus says some more about prayer. He says, ask, seek, knock. God gives good gifts to His children. And so we ask. Jesus teaches that there's a narrow gate and road as well as a wide gate and road. And many people are on the wide road. It's the easy way, the self way, the going with the crowd way. Kingdom people take the narrow path, sometimes harder, but it's the Jesus way. And He says we will know people by their fruit. Kingdom people don't just say, oh, Lord, Lord. No, they live their faith. And Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount by talking about wise and foolish builders. Kingdom people, do what God says. We follow the path of righteousness. So in Matthew 5 to 7, Jesus gives us some of the values of kingdom people. And I encourage you to take some time and read that. I mean, Luke, he just gave us an assignment to read a number of chapters of Acts. And now I'm going to say, read Matthew 5 to 7. Oh, there's so much good stuff here. But take Luke's assignment too if you're an adult in adult Sunday school. But this is what we're like. This is what we do. Now, the value I want to really focus on is forgiveness, because we can't look at it all in a short period of time. Kingdom people forgive. We see this in the Lord's Prayer. We see this in the verses immediately following. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses. Some have said our debts, it's our sins. As we forgive those who trespass, who sin against us. So we're in need of forgiveness, as we sang in the songs. That's part of it. Forgive us. And we need to forgive. Sometimes we want a whole lot more of forgive me, I need it. Oh, it's a little bit harder to extend forgiveness to others. But following the prayer, Jesus enlarges on this. Verses 14 to 15. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Kingdom people forgive, and we don't find forgiveness easy. I don't think anyone really does. I don't. It kind of goes against our desire for justice. It was wrong. They hurt me. All those things. Jesus spoke words of forgiveness while He was on the cross. You know, they were brutal to Him. He's there, dying in pain. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And if Jesus, in that most sorrowful moment, says, forgive them, then we need to forgive one another. It's important that we understand forgiveness. I want to say a few things about what forgiveness is not, because I think sometimes there's some misconceptions, then something about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not, one, forgiveness is not saying, it's okay. I think sometimes we do that. Or someone, you know, they ask for forgiveness, we say, oh, it's okay. Forgiveness is necessary because what was done is not okay. If it was just okay, we wouldn't need forgiveness. It's not okay. Forgiveness is more. It's not just glossing over something. Two, forgiveness is not forgetting. Sometimes we say, well, we'll forgive and forget, but we know that we remember things. And so then we think, oh, maybe I'm not really very good at forgiving because I remember. Well, some hurts, they last a lifetime. That doesn't mean we don't forgive those things. Three, forgiveness does not excuse ongoing hurtful behavior. We don't just forgive me and then carry on doing those very things, or forgive others and think it's okay for them to carry on doing those things to you. Forgiveness is, one, forgiveness is no longer holding the sin against the offender. So it's not okay, you were wrong, but I'm not going to hold it. I remember it, but I don't hold it against you anymore. One person said, it's surrendering the right to get even. It doesn't count anymore in my relationship with you. Two, in forgiveness, we rediscover the humanity of the other person. We realize, well, just as we have things that we've done wrong, so they do, and they need forgiveness. I think all of us have some people we find difficult in our lives. I've sometimes told myself that difficult people are usually hurting people. They have their own pains in their lives. In forgiveness, we acknowledge their needs as persons. Three, forgiveness is wishing the other person well. Like, we don't hold it against them. We're actually, in a way, blessing them. We're freeing them. So they too may go on to experience goodness. They may now do right. Four, forgiveness takes time. It often begins with a decision, you know, but forgiveness may be a process, and it's just hard to let go, but I decide that I'm going to forgive someone. And Lewis Smedes, who's written a lot about forgiveness, he says, ideally, forgiving leads to reconciliation. That's best. I don't think it always happens, even though we may forgive. It's not always fully reconciled in this world. But we do our part. I would say at times I have struggled to forgive. I don't like being wronged. I remind myself of what Jesus has done for me. He died so I may receive forgiveness. That's grace. So who am I to withhold forgiveness? I don't always feel like forgiving, but I make the choice, I forgive. So I want to share some stories about receiving forgiveness and then extending forgiveness. We need both. Forgiveness, it's grace, it's a gift, undeserved. Some people find it hard to receive gifts because just like we sometimes think, I don't want to forgive someone because they were wrong, some people know that they've done wrong and they find it hard to receive forgiveness from God. David Siemens is a Christian counselor. He wrote a book called Healing for Damaged Emotions. In it, he tells the story of a minister who came to see him. He was having trouble getting along with people, especially his wife and family. So Siemens had talked with his wife. He found her to be an attractive, loving person who was very supportive of her husband and his ministry, but he criticized her and was sarcastic and demanding. At the same time, he was rejecting her love and affection. And he realized he was destroying their marriage. Siemens says at the beginning of their interview, this minister met trouble like a real man. He blamed it on his wife. But then he became honest, and the painful root of the matter came to light. While he had been in the army in Korea, he had a 2-week leave during which he was able to go to Tokyo. Feeling empty, lonely, and terribly homesick, he fell into temptation and went a few times to a prostitute. He had never been able to forgive himself. He had sought God's forgiveness, and with his head, he believed he had it, but His guilt still plagued him and he hated himself. And when he returned home to marry his fiancée who had faithfully waited for him for all those years, his emotional conflicts increased because he still could not accept complete forgiveness. He couldn't forgive himself for what he had done to himself and to her. So he couldn't accept her freely offered affection and love. He felt he had no right to be happy. He said to himself, I have no right to enjoy my life, my wife. I have no right to enjoy my life. I've got to pay back the debt. So he believed grace. He even preached grace. But the debt collectors worked on him and he was doing penance. And it didn't work for him and it won't work for you. He must receive forgiveness no matter what we've done. Jesus died on the cross to take upon himself your sin, my sin. Our sin is dealt with, paid for. The King says, forgiven, receive it. Martin read Psalm 32, 1 to 5. You know, just blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. And just the last part of verse 5, and it'll be on the screen, I believe. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. I think we need to get that. I confess, God says, I forgive. There's forgiveness. We must also extend forgiveness to others. In 1990, a young mother of three was shot to death. The woman who shot her was having an affair with the husband. Sidna Mass was a neighbor to the murdered woman, and when she heard about the killing, she reacted with hate and rage. She saw three motherless kids and thought she had every right to hate the person who did this. Sidna, she says she grew physically hot when the murderer's name, Jennifer, was even mentioned or a picture of her was flashed on the television. Jennifer received a life sentence, but Sidna found no relief in that. She said, that's the thing with hatred and bitterness. It eats you alive. Every time I passed the house, I missed Diane and became angry all over again. Shortly after Jennifer was sentenced, Sidna began going to a Bible study that included a chapter on forgiveness. So Sidna prayerfully asked God whom she needed to forgive. And in her words, Jennifer's name came right to my head. I literally did a whiplash and protested. No way can I forgive her. She killed my friend. She killed a mother of three. Sidna was reluctant, but wrote a letter to Jennifer expressing forgiveness. What happened next surprised her. As soon as she dropped the letter in the mail, she says, I felt like I was losing 20 pounds. That's when I learned that anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness keeps you from experiencing the depths of joy. Sidna Mass initially forgave Jennifer out of a sense of obligation, and that's okay. But she says, what I didn't expect was what I got in return. Jennifer wrote in response, I'm sorry for killing your friend. Sidna had not realized how much she needed to hear that, but she did. They developed a pen pal relationship, and over time, they became friends. Sidna forgave, and she's experienced healing. Gary Thomas, who wrote this article in Christianity Today a few years ago, says, this is exactly what researchers studying forgiveness are finding. There is great healing that comes through forgiveness. This isn't just a biblical obligation. This is an action and a process which brings inner healing. God has forgiven us. We need to receive forgiveness, and then we need to forgive. There's a story that when Leonardo da Vinci painted the fresco, The Last Supper, in a church in Milan, that he had an enemy who was a fellow painter. And I, you know, like the story's there, but it's one of those things I'm a little unsure if it's fully true or not, although it seems he's definitely used people's faces, the people he knew, to sort of put on the faces of the persons in the painting. But Da Vinci had had a bitter argument with a man and despised him. And when Da Vinci painted the face of Judas Iscariot at the table with Jesus, he used the face of his enemy so that it would be present for ages as the man who had betrayed Jesus. And he took delight in painting this picture and knowing that others would actually notice the face of his enemy on Judas. So as he worked on the faces of the other disciples, he often tried to paint the face of Jesus, but he couldn't make any progress. Da Vinci felt frustrated and confused. In time, he realized what was wrong. His hatred for the other painter was holding him back from finishing the face of Jesus. Only after making peace with his fellow painter and repainting the face of Judas was he able to paint the face of Jesus and complete his masterpiece. Kingdom people, us, receive and extend forgiveness. We follow the King who said, "Father, forgive them." So I'd say receive forgiveness. If there's something you've done, maybe it's burdened you, you've never felt that you could follow Jesus because of what you've done. He said, no matter what, the people who killed him forgive you. And then we need to forgive others, one another. Ask the King who he would have you forgive. I'm going to ask Ben to come, please.